Parashat Shlach, we have the meraglim, the spies that are sent to search out the land, and we know the unfortunate result of their evil report, the Dibat Haaretz, the land of Klai Yisrael in the Midbar for 40 years. Moshe Rabbeinu sends them with very explicit instructions. How are the city in which it dwells? How is the land? Are there trees in it? You shall strengthen yourselves, take from the fruit of the land. These were very specific instructions. And the Chumash tells us, they ascended and spied out the land from the wilderness of Sin to the expanse at the approach of Tuchamat. And then in Pasuk Kaf Beis it says the following: Valuza Banegev, they ascended in the south, Vayavo at Chavron, and he arrived at Chavron, where there were Achiman, Sheshai, and Talmai, the offspring of the giant, and Chavron had been built 7 years before Tzoan of Egypt. And Rashi is sensitive, source number two, to the change in the grammar. They ascended, vayalu zeba negev, vayalu is plural they, referring to all the spies. Vayavo ad Chavron is a singular, and he arrived at Chavron. Who's the he? So Chazal tell us it was Kalev. He went there to pray at the tomb of the patriarchs, the cave of Machpelah, for the strength to resist the conspiracy of his comrades. Kalev was afraid that he was going to be influenced by the other miraculous, by the other spies. So he davens, Nishtateach al Kivrei Avos, he davens at the grave of our forefathers in Chevron, in order not to be influenced by their report. And indeed, we know that the end of the story is they come back, and the spies say a very negative report. Vayahas Kalev, Kalev is able to silence the people and say, no, we are able to go, we would be able to vanquish the enemies. And indeed, Yoshua and Kalev are the individuals that are able from that generation to enter into the land. And the Chumash describes Ekev, since that there was a Ruach HaCheret, a different spirit that came over Kalev. And we have to ask ourselves a number of questions. One question is, why is it that Moshe Rabbeinu just stands for Yeshua? Kai Yosheacha Matzat Meraglim, Hashem should save you from the effects of the Meraglim. Why didn't he daven for Kalev as well? Why was it necessary for Kalev to daven himself? Further, B'Sefer Musar Adad, source number 4, Makshe Rav Yafan, Yapan Zatzal Al Shichuto Shel Kalev. Madu Alach Batzatam? No one forced him to go. Further, the Sfarim point out that it was only Kalev that went to Chevron, not the other spies, because they were petrified, they were terrified of these giants. Nevertheless, even though it was a bit of a sakana, perhaps a danger to his life, Kalev nevertheless went to Chevron in order to daven. Is Hashem not found everywhere? Why could, if Kalev felt it was so important to daven, why couldn't he daven where he was? Further, we need to understand what is the idea. We'll touch on it. It's a whole topic in its own right, but we'll end with this. What is the whole idea of davening al Kivrei Avos? What's the idea specifically? Why did Kalev feel he needed to daven by Chevron, by the Kivrei Avos? That's one question. And the secondary question, which is equally important, is what is the significance of davening by Kivrei Avos that affects us on Hayom, that people go to Kivrei Tzadikim, we go to the graves of righteous people, we daven at the graves of our own forefathers? What's this whole idea is about? And finally, we need to understand that if Kalev is the one who stands up and shows the strength of spirit, Vayahas Kalev, shows tremendous leadership qualities, why is it indeed that Kalev is not the future leader, but Yoshua remains silent throughout, he's the future leader? So we really need to understand in a nutshell, and obviously we've been speaking about this B'chasdei Hashem for many years on the parasha, what was the issue of the Meraglim? How do Yoshua and Kalev reflect a counter to whatever it is? And what was the uniqueness of Kalev, and what can we learn from Kalev going to the Maris Machpelah, that we can learn for our own lives and our own Avodas Hashem and our own service of God? So let's begin. What was the issue of the Meraglim? So much is written on this, because obviously we're dealing with Rashi b'nei Yisrael Hema. These are the Gedolei Hador. These weren't simple people. These aren't like spies that you read about in a spy book, you know, Lahavdil, you know, who you don't even know who these people are, and they're just, you know, good at spy. No. These were the Nesim. These were the greatest people of this generation. For them to sin, it's not such a simple sach. There must be something much deeper going on here. So Rav Reish Shemar Shurim brings down the Sfasemis, who says the Rasfaya Shemaraglim Nichonu Ba'ayin Ruchanit Shiratab V'Yivur Shadayin Lo Egiyas Manam Likanes Larim. So Sfasemis suggests there's an idea that Avraham Avinu was told there'll be four generations before Klal Yisrael will return to the land. And in their estimation, the four generations had not yet transpired. So they really believe that we weren't able to get Eretz Yisrael right now. It wasn't the right time. Because the nations there have not used up the time that they were supposed to be there. So according to this, the Meraglim had really a spiritual reason to dissuade the people from going, because they really believed they wouldn't be successful because it wasn't the right time. And we know that timing is everything. Davar bito mato. Source 6, in this very area, that was their test. Mishum shayalem vatel chalutim binatam vafilu mabatam aruchani. Even in a spiritual guise, you have to be careful and realize that if Hashem says this is a time, even if it doesn't make sense to you, and even if in your calculations, how do you reconcile this? This is where bittul comes in. This is where nullification comes in. It doesn't make sense to you, granted. But this is what the Ritzon HaBarai is, and we have to go b'nayim atzumot achar Ritzon HaShchina. We have to follow what Hashem wants. Choser itbadlu lifnei Ritzon Hashem. What was their problem? Again, on their very lofty level, is they had cheshbonos, they had thoughts. It doesn't make sense, it's not the right time, there was a promise given to the nations, they'd be there four generations, you just can't, you know, go in at any time. That may be fine and well, but if Hashem says now's the time to go in, so Kadosh Baruch Hu will deal with the you know, the math problem, so to speak. That's not your problem. Your problem is to do Ritzon Hashem, even if it doesn't make sense. Even if it doesn't, you know, work with your system, that's irrelevant. If this is what Hashem wants, this is what you have to do. And I'll just share with you on a personal level where I experienced this in a totally different arena this past week, is we've had, and again, it's been, Kenai and her have been living in this apartment for 15 years. We've never had any bird's nest on our windowsill. In the wintertime, we had our first bird's nest and gave birth to two little birds who've long since gone. And we had asked a question about doing the mitzvah shiluach hakan, and we were told there's a lot of complicated halachas, but it can't belong to you. The windowsill has to be hefker. It can't be on your property to do this. So we figured, well, you know, it happens once every 15 years, maybe another time in the next 15 years, we'll have another bird's nest. So we were mafker our windowsill, you know, that doesn't belong to us. And sure enough, another bird shows up. Why we're having all these birds, I have no idea of the spiritual significance. Someone maybe want to tell me this, I'd be more than happy to hear it. And sure enough, we had another bird lay eggs on our windowsill. So here, my husband went to ask one of the rabbanim here what to do, how to do shiluach hakan, etc., etc. And we were told indeed how to do it, when to do it at night, it's a mother bird versus the father bird that watches during the day. It's like a whole science, right? It's not for the birds, it's science. It's a real science. So, b'kitzer, we said, okay, we're going to do this mitzvah shiluach hakan. We know, unfortunately, a number of people, but one person specifically who needs a schus of having children, as well as was sick this year, needs a schus of refuah. We thought she would be a perfect candidate, and I called her up, and I said in a sensitive way, as I could, if we have this mitzvah, would you like to do it? She said she's already done it twice this year, she'll think about it. Fine. She calls me back and says, okay, she's ready to do this. Great. She comes in, and we were told to do this with, take a broom, and to, you know, scare the mother bird away. So this is what she does. She takes the broom, And I lost it. I am a very sensitive soul. I couldn't watch this. And I said, this is what the mitzvah is, to scare the mother bird. And she would not move. This mother bird would not move for anything. She, you know, she's on top of her little eggs, little chicks. And I had gone to another room. I couldn't handle this. And it was a very poignant spiritual moment for me that I'm sharing privately, publicly, where I said, you know what? It makes no sense to me. How could I do this? Or how can I cause this to happen to the mother bird? But it's not about me. It's about Bitzel through its own Hashem. And I said, so often in my life, I don't do that much that's going to, you know, I do what makes sense to me, and it makes sense in the larger picture. But to really be in Eved Hashem is, even if it doesn't make sense to me, if this is what Hashem wants, then I have to move out to my das, to the das Elyon. In the end, the bird flew into our house, the mother bird, going a little bit haywire and crazy. It was an experience, to put it mildly, and it should be a schluss for this family among all those that need Zerah Shel Kayama. I said to my daughter, I hope this person has triplets. She said, 3 times in 1 year, I'll keep you posted. Beretz Hashem. This is what we're talking about. Bittel. Bittel. Ki vadaya nireh leinei sichlam, shei mikocham lichnos, sharei be'emet lo nichnasu. Avalim hayu maminim avlitim hishtaklutam l'ratzon Hashem Yisbarach, continuing six and squiggly. Hayazda be'atzmo mesayei lehem l'tzei matava. Had they been mevatel themselves to the will of God, they indeed would have walked out of the world of the natural, and in the world of the supernatural, anything can happen. The problem of the Meraglim on this level, and again, on their lofty level, was not sufficient enough bittul, hachna, humbling themselves to what the will of Hashem is. And this was the exact problem, continuing at the end of 6, of the people themselves. When they go in and they go beir buvya, as it describes in Sefer Dvarim, in the base of Chazal, v'tikrivuna elai kulchem, in a total mixed multitude, it's again this feeling of we're in control. If you go in an orderly fashion, that's again the idea of bittul, the idea of being able to nullify yourself and to know there's a correct order. Here they went in as a mob. And it was this aspect, notes the Maharal in 7, that influenced the Meraglim not to have the level of bittul, the level of self-nullification that they needed to have, which influenced their report. And indeed, as the Ramban points out in the dot in 7, what was the ultimate sin of the Meraglim? One word, Ephes. However, Ephes Kias Ha'am. They not only give the report, as Moshe Rabbeinu said, which is what a spy's job is, to report back A, B, and C, but they added their own interpretation. And once you add your own interpretation, you're no longer being mevatel, you're das, nullifying your will to the will of the one who sent you. You are now bringing your own agenda onto this. And when you've brought your own agenda onto this, you've lost the sense of what it means to be a messenger. Who were the exceptions? The exceptions were Yoshua and Kalev. Yoshua, who, as we know, had tremendous targum, Yonasan says, internally, Batlud, he himself knew how to be mevatel his dad, how to nullify his will. He had anivos. Moshe Rabbeinu said, you are a kli that I can bless you, that you're going to be successful in this mission. However, in the asterisks in 10, Kalev lo kibel siyumi tefilas Moshe. Kalev did not receive help from Moshe Rabbeinu, and we'll talk about why later on. Mir Tachem. V'alkena yatzarich ma'atzmo la'lech li'shakeach al kivrei avo shebechevro. He had himself to daven in order to be saved. So while Yeshua had the help from above, the help of a brach of a tzaddik, Kalev didn't have this. And what was Kalev's basic tefillah? Notes the base Yisrael, that his basic tefillah was that I shouldn't rely on myself, like the Meraglim. They're so sure, they know what they're doing, they know what they're saying. No, help me be able to learn from Yehuda, my ancestor. Kalev came from the tribe of Yehuda. Yehuda is about the Shem Hashem, the Yudke Vavke, with the letter Dalet added. What's the letter Dalet? Hamevatet et chushat hadalut hamiyafyenet et hadam anishan kulo achaste hashamayim. Dalet is from the word poor, impoverished. where Dalosi Velio Shia, we say in the Capitol Tila, when we recognize how lowly we are, when we recognize how we're completely dependent on Hashem, then HaKadosh Baruch Hu can save us. Part of the problem, the Meraglim was, they went in with this feeling, the spirit of they can do it. They know what it's about. They have their agenda. Kalev said, oy vavoy, if I walk in with a mindset of an agenda, I'm never going to be able to survive. I need to learn bittul. I need to be able to take the koach of the avos. And indeed, the Beis Yisrael knows from Gur that this is the hint that Moshe Rabbeinu said, aluzeh b'negev. Go up, start with the south. Do you know what the Negev represents? It represents Avravinu, Vayisa Avraham Haloch V'Nasoa HaNegba. Avravinu traveled in the south. Have that need of Avravinu, of Anochi Afar V'Efer, of Bittul, of humility. Kalev understands that the mindset of the Meraglim, of the spies, is not coming with this mindset. And therefore he recognizes that in order for him to be the most faithful of the messengers, he needs to be able to have this quality of hachna, the quality of bittul. And therefore he goes to the kivrei avos to be able not to rely on himself, to rely on their merit that he should be saved and that he should be successful in this mission. And indeed, my friends, as Rav Kaufman points out in Mishchat Shemen, this is what we find with the Or Chaim HaKadosh points out with the Pasuk Vavdi, the asterisk in 12, Kalev Ekev Haita Ruach HaCharedimo. He's called Avdi Kalev. Just like Moshe Rabbeinu was called an Eved Hashem. Do you know what it means to be called an Eved Hashem, a servant of Hashem? Very few people have this appellation. Why? To an Eved means that you're totally batel, you're totally giving nullifying yourself, giving yourself over to the higher will of Hashem. This is what the tefillah of Kalev was all about. Help me have this Ruach HaCheret. Help me have this different spirit. Help me have the spirit of the Avos, of the humility. Help me not be able to take my own personal agenda and bring it into the picture. Help me step out of self and do what I was told to do, and it's not about me. An Eved is a loyal servant, is someone who's going to do what they're told to do and not what they want to do. And this is Masha Inkain, Kalev 13 in the Dutch, Nechnas Begeder Sakanat Yetzahara, V'Chevrat Harisha. Kalev, who's entering into the influence of the other spies, and knows that the Yetzahara is so great, he therefore is Nishtateach HaKivrei Avos, and he says, give me a greater spirit, enable me to stand strong, that I can be called an Eved Hashem, like Moshe Rabbeinu, a servant of Hashem. V'hainu shebizchut ha'idbatu l'ritzon Hashem b'tamsut ha'nefesh mishalom. By Kalev taking really an enormous step, he sacrificed potentially his own well-being to go to a dangerous place. Zacha l'rota ta'aretz v'ya ruchani v'lakir b'tovata v'kdushata lein cheker. And he was indeed successful in his tefillah, that he was able to see the spiritual aspects of the land. As Rav Schwab Zatzal points out, it's all about how you view things. The other spy said, we saw giants. And indeed, there were giants. Kalev's response is, I also saw giants. And those giants were called the Avos HaUmah. They were called the forefathers of our nation. It's how you view what giants are all about. It's how do you view things from your physical lens or from your spiritual lens. Kalev understood that he was in tremendous danger, and the only way he would be successful is if he would be able to step out of his own self and agendas. V'avdi Kalev ekev haita ruach hacharedimo. He had a different spirit. It was the spirit of bittul. It was the spirit of being an Eved. And that is exactly what he davened for, to have that spirit of the Avos on him. V'anachnu ma. We are nothing. We are here to be the Merkava, the chariot of Hashem. Rav Kufrin brings an interesting maisa. He says, oftentimes, our negios, mishapshutim, daito shel adam admaot, our negios, Our personal biases affect our mindset. And he says this happens even to great people. And he tells a story that once in the city of Yerushalayim, a great person from America sent a very large donation to a Rav in the old city and said, I want it earmarked for this individual. So the Rav thought to himself, my gosh, what a waste. This money is such a substantial amount of money, it could feed so many different families. Just to give it to one family, chaval. So he said this to this rabbi and said, you want to give all this money to one person? Why not just spread the wealth? And the rabbi responded from this very word. He says, this is what we learned from Kalev, where it says about Yehoshua and Kalev that they were very, they said the land is tovar, it's ma'od ma'od, it's very, very good. Why very, very good? So Chazal say to Miramamez, to hint at, they were ma'od ma'od haveshval ruach. They were very, very humble. And he was basically saying the greatness of Kalev and Yehoshua wasn't, well, we think, we feel. No, this is what you have to do, this is what you do. And the rabbi got the picture that he, in his mind, didn't think this person was worthy of all this money. Shouldn't it go to A, B, and C? And the rabbi in America is saying, that's in your mind, and that's in your perspective. But do you see everything? Do you know everything? And he was masking. He says, you're right. My negius, my own biases got in the way. And that's the challenge that all of us have. So now we have to understand, my friends, what was the difference between Yehoshua and Kalev? Why was it that Yehoshua became the man, he became the leader, Kalev didn't? Why is it that Kalev had a David and that Yehoshua got the bracha from the start? It seems like they were starting, you know, where Kalev had it a little bit harder than Yehoshua, and he should get a greater reward. So there's a very famous answer Torah Chesed brings, Rav Hanan brings from the Chofetz Chaim. And many, many of the Musar Sfarim bring this idea that there are two drachim, ketzad linhog, kasher kulam misaviv v'shay. Obviously, there are many ways, but there are two classic ways, says the Chofetz Chaim, that you deal when people are dealing with wicked people around you. Harishana, one is, in the asterisk, linageid bitokef, to stand up strong and say, I will not, you know, give in. I am not going to, I'm going to hold strong. He started off this way, and indeed, Moshe Rabbeinu, recognizing this, gave him a bracha that he should be able to withstand any, you know, physical dangers that he may be in being around these type of people. The other is not to say a word, to play along. Kalev, and that's how Kalev acted, and that's why when Kalev silenced the people and said, is this all Ben Amram did? They listened to him, and he said, hey, he was crossed us to sea and gave us some money, etc. Why did the Meraglim let Kalev speak? Because they really believed that Kalev was on their side. And the Chofetz Chaim goes on and says there is a positive and a negative side to each one of these approaches. Yehoshua, on the one hand, wasn't going to be influenced by what they were saying because they clearly knew that he was on a different side. He fought for his way. On the other hand, he was in physical danger that people might want to try to physically harm him so that he should be out of the way. On the other hand, Kalev, who was quiet, obviously he didn't need a bracha in the beginning. But over time, when he may not have the strength to be able to play along, then he would, and be influenced, then he recognized in the middle of the way, I better gain some strength to be able to withstand. And this is, although he was physically not in danger, spiritually, he was in danger. With this, my friends, we can understand Vati Kalev Ruach Acharei Taimo 17 Ruach Pnimit Sheshona Mima Shamar Befiv Befiv Haya Kol Aderach Imeraglin Avalibo Im Hashem Gama Aderach Hazu Tova And of course, Baruch Hu Hikshir Gam Et HaDerech Hazoh. When it says, V'avdikalev Ruach HaCharedai Taima, what do you mean it's a different spirit? It means that originally his spirit was, the way he acted, was that he was going along with the Rakli. The different spirit was Echad Bapev Echad Balev, that he acted one way, but he said something else, and he notes here. After 40 years, Yoshua becomes a manhig and not kalev. Why? Kevan shemanhig chayav shitielo ruach hazakav yocholet lo lichet amo begvura gam kishukulam sovim tovim. A manhig, a leader, has to be someone from the get-go who's going to be able to stand in the oppositional view. Who on the get-go is going to be able to have the strength of spirit to say, I disagree. And that this is the way things need to be done. So there is an approach to kalev. The kalev, you know, go along, and the last minute, pull the, you know, the blanket under them. No, towel to their feet. No. Yeshua from the start says, I don't agree. And I'm telling you I don't agree. And I stand. And even though it's going to be difficult with peer pressure, and even though I'm going to get a lot of flack for it, I don't care. I'm going to stand for what I stand for. To be a manhig b'Yisrael, you have to be able to go against what other people say. And we see this from Shaul HaMelech. Rishol was so careful and influenced by what the people said that ultimately he lost his malchus. To be a leader needs to have strength of spirit. To be a leader is always going to be looking over the shoulder. What do other people think? What do other people say? That's not real leadership. But here, my friends, we come to the real punchline. Says the Taras Chesed, ultimately, Yeshua sent Kalev again to go into the land by Yericho become the Meragel. Kalev and Pinchas Chazal tell us. The greatness of Kalev was that he's ready to be Nichna to Yeshua. Where Kalev doesn't have an issue of saying, well, I was also a spy, and I'm also a great leader. Why is Yeshua the leader and not me? The greatness of Kalev is his ability to have bittul, which is such a contrast. If you take a look at Yeshua and Kalev on the one hand, they're great quality. And we spoke about this last week. The greatness of Anivos, of knowing your place, contrasts with the Meraglim, who didn't have this idea of bittul. As a classic understanding is that they were afraid they were going to lose their nesius, their princeship or princehood in Eretz Yisrael. They weren't going to be the nesium. They're so afraid of their honor. Kalev and Yeshua know their place so carefully. So now the question becomes, my friends, if I understand this, if I understand that Kalev needed to daven because he was going along with them, and then in the middle he realized that he's going to need the strength of spirit to be able to withhold and withstand because the pressure was so great. So then why did he daven where he was? Malokal Arts Kvoto, Hashem is everywhere. Why was it necessary to go to the Kivrei Avos and put himself in danger to daven there? So the Musar Adad answers the Daniel quotes in 19, Maturat. Shekishra'a Kalev Shemaragli Mitachsim Eich Savis Somchima Chochmatam. When Kalev saw how they were, you know, scheming and relying on the wisdom, and they were imposing their own personal views, Pachad Kalev Shema Yatzlichu Lashpio Gamalav. He was afraid they maybe could influence him. V'itpatel Laskim Imam. And he would be influenced with them. We all are aware of all these experiments they do in social sciences about peer pressure, you know, to take two lines that are clearly not equal. And, you know, you say, everyone has said, you know, X. So people say, yeah, of course they're equal, whatever it is. People are so influenced by what other people say that even if something is so clear in front of them, it's hard for them to admit it. And he realized that he can't extricate himself from this. He realized that his own davening itself wasn't going to help, which shows you, my friend, what an intense environment and pressure he was under. He needed the koach of the avos. Why? Heim heim hagiborim anshei Hashem. They represented strong people. Asher salalu derech tmimut ba'omdam b'nisyonot kmirim. They withstood tremendous challenges. Mibli listod kavu zeh yamin o smol. Without moving to the right or the left, they did what was correct, even if it was unpopular. A bris milah, 99 years old, and a kedush yitzchak. These are unpopular things. If this is what needs to be done, this is what I'll do. That hachna, that bittul, that eved Hashem, that nerkava. Rak tfilatam shalavo lifnei kisei hakavod tiemusugela lo siyami pach yokshim. Kalev realized that his own tefillah alone wasn't going to be enough. He needed the help of the tefillah of the avos, that they should help him, give him the strength to be able lazor koach, to gird him with strength, to be able to be successful. We learn from Kalev how we have to be on the alert, that we live life with so tremendous challenges. And we learn from Kalev that if Kalev wasn't able to rely on his own tefillah, if Kalev wasn't able to rely on his own seichel, his own mindset and merit, Alachas kamvakama, how much more so? We have to realize how fragile we are, how careful we need to be. Kalev shaya adam gadol, hevin shegam hu tzarich ezer v'siyua. Kalev, as great as he was, realized he needed help. Ubekochotav atzmo gam hu yichol lichasef achar tzatam v'liuchal limno atzmo v'liot shutav v'chedem araglim. He realized that there's no guarantee that he can be saved. How many times, says the Ur Daniel, do we hear, don't worry, I'm strong enough. Oh, me? I'm not going to be influenced. Not me. Smochala, you can rely on me. Letzareinu, unfortunately, on yodim, shabim v'gdolim, naflu b'chol minei atzov v'taduim, v'nisirot shalei chlu l'mobem. Don't say things like this. We can never be so sure. None of us are ever strong enough. The pulls around us are so great. And we have to be aware of this. And this, the Chochman HaMatzvun, quoting the Musar V'Dat, ends this piece in 22, where he says, this is similar to what the Masilas Yesharim speaks about, Al Kein Yomru HaMoshlim Bo Cheshbon. This is what the leaders say, come to Cheshbon, which homiletically the Gemara learned, those who are moshlim b'yitzram, those who rule over their inclination, they have to always do a cheshbon ha-nefesh. And the famous vision of Masilas Yesharim, it's like a garden maze, a garden path, where there's so many different paths, and you're just going to hit brick wall after brick wall. You need someone standing in the middle who's going to be able to direct you. And he says, Eilehem ha-moshlim b'yitzram kvar yatsu mikol ha-shvilim v'abilbulim shel ha-yetzer. These are the ones that have already left all the paths that have left to nowhere, and they are able to give the etza, the advice, to be able how to extricate yourself. In this case, it was going to the Avos Ha'uma, it was going to the great people of the nation. Rav Volbi adds on this a very interesting idea. He says, one should never rely in 24 on his own bechira. When faced with the possibility of transgression, for he can never be sure that he will indeed make the correct decision. None of us can say, oh man, don't worry about me, I'm not influenced so easily, I'm not going to fall into that, you think I'm crazy? You can't say that. Instead, he should always view himself as if he has no bechira at all, no free choice, and will certainly succumb to do that sin. Wow, that's the mindset. Such a mindset will push him to do everything in his ability to prevent himself from entering the problematic situation in the first place. Kalev did not want to rely on his own resolution not to join the other spies, and he therefore prayed for heavenly assistance that he not be persuaded to join them. Often we visit certain places, associate with certain people, or bring certain items into our homes that have the ability to inflict spiritual damage. We excuse these actions with the belief that due to our steadfast morals, we will not be affected negatively. How many of us say this? How many of us do this? However, this is not the proper approach. Our vote is to do everything possible to make sure we do not have to face any sillion in the first place. Right? And that's why we know, whether it's the case of computers, not to have filters, is setting yourself up for temptation that may be too strong. Having tremendous filters, the temptation is gone. You can't go to half of these sites. Sorry, improper, you know, sites here. You can't go. So then your bechira, your free choice is limited. I can't even go to these sites, so it's not even an option for me. Not having certain people around you who are bad influences. I don't have to deal with them because they're not around me. What happens when these people are in your life and how do you deal with them? So that's why you need to do what Kalev did, which we'll talk about in a minute. But one of that is to mamish daven, to realize that I can never rely on myself. It's interesting, Rav Zaks and Menachem Sion points out, what was the whole idea of going to the Kivrei Avos? Shekolecha and the Aram Shloshes Ha'avos in 25 Amad Be'ever Echad B'Nisyono Me'od Kashim. All of these have in common that they had Nisyonos, they had tremendous challenges in life. And everyone was on one side and they were on another. Avram Averin. And here Kalev feels like he's in the same situation. Lavan and his henchmen are on one side, Yaakov is on another side. Avimelech and Melech Grauer on one side, and Grauer on one side, Yitzchak Avinu is on the other side. They're all, this is their lives, to be able to withstand this social and tremendous pressure. And that's why Shami Palo Kalev Shavot Yalsilu Alam et HaRuach HaCheret HaNosefet Shmi Blada Lo Yuchal Lachzik Mamat. It's turning to the Avos and saying, you've all been there. You've all coursed through the path, the maze of life. Give me your spirit. Give me your ability that I can be able to also withstand the pressure, which is so great that I don't get drawn into it. And he notes, this is very fascinating, that we know we begin off all of our davenings throughout the year. Shabbos, Rosh Chodesh, Yom Tov, Rosh Kippur, Rosh Hashanah, Lom Hashanah. We begin off with the same three brachos. And the first bracha is Avos. And in fact, halachically, if you don't have kavanah for Avos, they said you really should go back. And then the Ramah points out that when you go back, you probably won't have kavanah anyway, so it's not really worth going back. But Avos is the most central bracha that we have. Because Avos is what enables us to attach to their ability to daven and to attach to everything that they were about. They are our models, our spiritual model. When we say the bracha of Avos, we should think about what they characterized and what we need to be able to take from them into our lives. And hence he notes that right after the bracha of Avos is the bracha of Gvura, of strength. Lutzayin, the asterisk in 26, Shekvuras Yisrael Novat, Mitoch Ruach Avos, the Gemaldic idea. The strength of Klal Yisrael comes from the Avos. One follows the other. That how are we able to withstand so many temptations in our world? How are we able to withstand and have so much strength of spirit? It comes from the Avos. But we should have this mindset when we daven. So my friends, let's see what we've seen until now, and let's take this a little bit further. Kalev understands that he's going to play a different approach than Yoshua. Yoshua walks in saying, I'm not going to follow with them. He gets the bracha of Moshe Rabbeinu to be able to have this physical protection. Kalev goes around and pretends to be with them. What was the major problem that we've seen was this lack of bittul, this lack of humbling themselves. They felt like it wasn't the right time. They felt that they could give their own insight, they had their own agendas. It was very much about them. And Kalev understood that there is a tremendous, tremendous pull to be like everybody else, to say what everyone else said. And he felt that although he was going along with them and then wanted, to pull a fast one on them, he was losing ground. And when you're around people who can give very convincing arguments, very soon you're giving the same arguments as somebody else to convince them to do this. It's a very big slippery slope. So therefore, Kalev understood that the only way to stop the slippery slope was to daven the Kivrei Avos. Why didn't he daven where he was? Of course he davened where he was. But he understood that wasn't strong enough. The pull was so great that he needed the Avos. The Avos who withstood challenges. The Avos who were on the Be'er Achad, the forefathers who were on the other side, who've come out on the other end and know what it's like to be able to withstand this peer pressure. He needed them to also daven. He needed them to stand up for him and to give him that strength of spirit to be able to have that fortitude to continue, because alone he was unable to do so. What was the key to Kalev? What was it that enabled him in the middle of this touring to do a side, side trip all by himself to the land of giants, to put himself in danger? What was it that Kalev understood that, oh boy, I need this help? Here the Sefer Aros from Zadel Epstein Zatzel points out the following. He says, and the squiggly in 26, Chazal gilu lanu koach hayitzer. Chazal teach us the power of our inclination. Amar Rabbi Yitzchak Yitro Shal Damit Chadish Lo B'chol Yom. Rabbi Yitzchak notes that our negative inclination has these new ingenious ways that it comes with every day. Rak rak kol hayom. And we know that if HaKadosh Baruch Hu won't be of help to us, we're never going to be able to be miskaber. And we have to realize that this is not only in the negative, not to do things, but also in the kum v'aseh, doing mitzvos, that there's so many blockages and so many stumbling blocks that could come along my way when I want to do a mitzvah, that if you don't grab it, it's going to be gone. This is what David said when he wanted Shlomo Melech to be king. He said to Benayahu, Harbe kitrugim yamdu mikan ad v'agichon. From here to Gichon, which is in a far distance, they're going to have a lot of obstacles along the way. You got to go fast. Hurry up. Because the Yitzhahara doesn't only work for us not to do Averos, it also works for us not to do Mitzvot. It has the most ingenious thing. You know, you want to get up and daven. I'm too tired now to daven. You know, I'll daven soon. You know, let me eat something first, and then I'll have the strength to daven. And then I start eating, and then I forget what I was going to do, and then you get a phone call, and then you get an email, and then you get to pick up somebody, and then your kid forgets the lunch, and then it's 2 o'clock. Oh my gosh, I forgot to daven. Ingenious. And every day it's going to be something else, so you don't fall into the same trap, you know, because then you learn it's shenanigans. We get sidetracked so often. You mean to call somebody, and you really mean, and you still really mean. And this is what we have to realize, that the Yitzhahara and the Yitz is so cunning, and has so many menials, and it stops us in so many ways. But we also understand that if a person really wants to do something, wherever path you want to take, Kadosh Baruch Hu will help you with it. And if this is your ratzon, this is your will, and this is something you really want to do, there's going to be nothing stopping you. It's all about you. It's all about your mindset. I just had this also this week. It's been a busy week where I decided I wanted to do something, whatever it was, and I realized that if I would put this, whatever I wanted to send, in the mail, who knows if it would get there or wouldn't get there. So I said, you know what? I'm going to drive to Bnei Brak myself, and I'm going to hand deliver it. Okay, so Sunday night, I said, I'm going to go tomorrow to Bnei Brak, and I'm going to hand deliver it. Sunday night, my husband says to me, what car are you taking tomorrow? Why? Because I need to go to Bnei Brak tomorrow to drive somebody there. You need to go to Bnei Brak tomorrow? Yeah. What? Since when do you go to Bnei Brak? Someone has an appointment, I said I would drive them. Drive them to Bnei Brak? Wow! Would you mind? You know, here's the address, here's the envelope. But Derech Shadem Rotzel Alechba, if you want to do a mitzvah, you want to help somebody out, Kadosh Baruch Hu will say, I'll help you out. Sure, you don't have to drive to Bnei Brak. Your husband will drive to Bnei Brak. He needs to go there anyway, out of all days, right? Because Bederech Shadem Rotzel Alechba, Molichin Oto. That's the way it works. Sometimes it's more obvious than others. What do we need to do with our Yetzirah? We need to be able to open a petach. What's the petach with the Yetzirah? So I know I'm trying to do a mitzvah. If I start, HaKadosh Baruch will help me. What's the petach to avoid my Yetzirah? Uma petach in the asterisk in 27, Shirotzi Mahadam, he's boarding us. Be alert. Alert. Aware. Not on cruise control. Still, Shishorim writes, Inyan is a Hebrew Sheyadam is Bonem of Akech, Amasavit Rachav, Atovim Emin Lo. We have to watch our ways, are they good or not? So we shouldn't be like a blind person walking on the bank of a river without knowing what you're doing. Because without the heroes, without being careful, you're no better than an animal. Rav Yaakov Hillel, on this chapter of the heroes, iterate, sending the path, what a wonderful sefer to learn with Zilti Sharon. He brings as an example, he says in 28, I don't know if any of you have ever been to Eretz Yisrael on Yom HaTzimut, on Israeli Independence Day. There is a well-known, I can't call it custom, but well-known thing that people bop each other on heads with plastic hammers. Any of you ever been to Ben Yehuda, middle of the city, Yom HaTzimut? Haven't been there in 16 years, but that's what they tell me. Bop people on the head with hammers. He says, if this is what intelligent human beings have come to, then we are in trouble. It's imperative we learn to stop our headlong rush and say, wait a minute, what is actually going on here? Why am I and those around me doing all these things which make up my life? Who exactly has decided that this is how it has to be? We must learn to question what others take for granted. This ability to question societal norms, so rare in our times, is the meaning behind our forefather Avraham Avinu's title of Avraham of Ivri. Our sages explained that an entire generation, in fact, an entire world, Avram stood apart. Hashem saw that only he had the character to question what others took for granted. Avram stood Me'evelon Nahar, literally on the opposite bank of the river. He alone refused to be swept along with the current. Instead, he stepped back, surveyed the sacrosanct beliefs, actions, and attitudes of contemporaries on the opposite bank, and dared to ask, but why? Avram sold the sun, the moon, and a host of little figurines or gods to be worshipped. This was uncontested wisdom in Avram's time. Yet Avram asked, but why? Who said so? Avram sold us what everyone does. Does this make any sense? That's what he asked. He recognized there were questions which had to be asked, and givens which had to be rethought and reconsidered. He asked, rethought, reconsidered. We as descendants face our own crop of givens, clothed in modern garb. As the spiritual heirs, we must learn to challenge them as he did. The call to think and rethink dates back even further to Adam Arisho. When Adam sinned by eating the fruit of the tree of knowledge, Hashem's first word to him was, Ayeka, where are you? You know what Ayeka means? Ayeka means, where have you been? What have you done? Where has it brought you? What has become of you? This is what the Rochal warns us to avoid. We must be alert and aware, checking and rechecking, asking whether our deeds are in fact keeping with Hashem's will. A one-time appraisal is not enough, though, because it's a man's nature to be biased, generally in his own favor. We should learn to ask ourselves the question, Ayeka, is this its profound sense at every step? Where, why, and what are we doing? Is it right or wrong? How and when, if at all, should any potential deed be done? This is where the evil inclination steps in, and is no small opponent. He is unbelievably hardworking. As Rachel will explain, a veritable master at his trade, he can and does make the worst things look unblemished piety, and the best things look like wicked corruption. And those are the gray areas that are so hard to decipher. What was the greatness of Kalev? What enabled Kalev to be who he was? Notes of Epstein's, it's not silent, Sefer Aros 31, in the asterisk. Ruach HaCheret Chaita B'Kalev. He was with them originally. What made him realize, oh my gosh, I need help? Even when you're doing something, and at face value, what you're doing is what Moshe Rabbeinu wanted. Hashem said miraculously, Moshe Rabbeinu give you a list of what to look at. You're doing a mitzvah. Never stop, even when you think you're doing a mitzvah, to always ask yourself, is this the right way I'm doing it? Is there any part of me that's here? Should I be mevatel more? Should I have more humility in what I'm doing? Do things need to be tweaked a little bit? Am I doing it to the best way possible? We're both like, it's not easy. I always tell my students, life isn't easy. But why are we here? Are we here again? And this is part of that challenge of the cruise control mindset of life, you know? Any of you ever try that? Just put it on cruise control and you just drive down the highway and you can be mindless. That's how we go through life. No. We know cruise control. It's very dangerous. And if we don't know it, then I say it is dangerous. Because you live in that world of mindlessness. and you lose focus, and you need to be alert, and you need to be attentive, and you need to be well aware of what's going on around you. And that's true of life. Things that we take for granted. We light candles, Friday night candles. Ask yourself, are you saying it with enough kavana? Are you davening for your children? Are you davening for others who are in need? Or are you just lighting and going on? You take in Shabbos. What do you do right after you take in Shabbos? Do you sit and read the newspaper? Do you begin with something of Kedusha, Tehillah, learning a Sefer? Things that we do that are mitzvahs, how can we do them better? And that's that constant awareness. I just finished davening. What could I have done a little bit better? Where could I have more kavana the next time I daven? That constant introspection is what makes us who we are. And that's the lesson Kalev is teaching us. Why wasn't Kalev blessed at the outset? Because it's a lesson for you and me that we're all a Kalev. We're all people who go through things in life that we think there's a mitzvah. And then we do this hisbonenus, we do this introspection, we realize, whoa, am I in the right path? Have I veered? And I need help. I need to daven for being able to be successful in these endeavors. Perhaps it was Kalev saw that they had that invested interest that they would lose their nesios. Whatever it is, he recognized that, you know what, I better check this out. And I need help. With this, we can appreciate a gewaltig idea of Rav Sternbach Zatzal, Rav Moshe Sternbach Shlita, where he says, Kalev, on the other hand, he brings Chofetz Chaim, faced no obvious physical danger. Moshe prayed for only Yeshua because the prayer, listen closely in the squiggly 31, of a righteous person is only effective for avoiding a physical misfortune and not a spiritual one. So Moshe Rabbeinu, who was afraid of Yeshua, who was standing against the people from the start, against the Meraglim, he was in physical danger, Moshe Rabbeinu could daven for him. Not so for the spiritual danger of Yeshua, who played along. In order to avoid the danger of a spiritual pitfall, the person himself must exercise his own spiritual endeavors. In the case of Kalev, he prostrated himself on the graves of the Avos, and here he adds a very interesting addition, undertaking to do tshuva and perhaps adapting various resolutions. You don't just go to a kever of a tzaddik and daven. You do tshuva when you go there. You change as a person. You take on kabbalos. You take the energy of that tzaddik, and we'll talk about this in a minute, Amir Tzashem, and be able to integrate it within you. And beseeching Hashem to save him from spiritual dangers of the Meraglim and the merit of the Holy Forefathers. Listen to the story. Rav Sternbach recalls the asterisk in 31. When he was a child, Rav Chanan Wasserman, Hashem Yikom Gamno, came on one of his visits to his family. Rav Sternbach's mother had already been widowed, and she asked Rav Chanan to bless her sons as she grew up to be Tamid Chachamim Gdol Yisrael at Vayira, Gdol Torah Vayira, and her daughters to be Benel Torah. Rav Chanan responded that he had a tradition from the Chofetz Chaim that for ruchnias, for spirituality, blessings do not help. Only if a person toils in Torah and prays will he be blessed by Hashem. If he will not toil on his own, no blessing from a tzaddik will help him. However, he encouraged Rav Sternbach's mother to invest a lot of efforts in her children's ruchnias, and then she would be successful with the help of Hashem. But Kalev understood. Is that tefillah from Moshe Rabbeinu? What Moshe Rabbeinu understood wasn't going to be of help. It had to come from Kalev. It had to come from him to daven for the Siyata D'Shemayim. It had to come from him to daven for the Ruchnias. It had to come from him because when it comes from you, this is really what you want. And we know Kol Bidei Shemayim Chutz Miyirat Shemayim. Everything's in the hands of heaven except the fear of heaven. Rabosai, this is where our focus needs to be. Our focus needs to be a davening for Yirat Shemayim. Our focus needs to be a davening that we should be successful in life. Why dafka go to a base kfaros to do this? Why go to a cemetery to do this? Why go to kivrei tzaddikim? So there are a number of answers. One that the Musar Vadad brings, Matam Atzvun quotes, is in 34, Sharei beveda kvaros masliach adam l'shachrer tatzmo l'itromein madrim ha'kantanim shelo chatzim alav. A cemetery, you have perspective. A cemetery, you don't get caught up in the trivialities of this world, what's trivial. You forget your kinna, your sinna, you have more bittul. And that's why we know that when they used to have a day of fast, they would go to Kivrei Yisrael, that the dead people should have rachamim on them. And if there's no Kivrei Yisrael, they went to a kever of a non-Jew, to show that we're like dead people, that we can only rely on Hashem. So part of going to a Beis Kvaros is to be able to humble ourselves, to realize that we're here just temporarily, and and we go to a Jewish cemetery, we go to tzaddikim to learn from their ways. And not to rely on ourselves, part of the humility. And I am asking the zakenim to be able to daven for me, to be able to help me out. And obviously, with everything in life, there's a lot of question. Is it good to go to Kivrei Tzaddikim? Is it not good to go? What is it to accomplish? Let's just talk about this for a number of moments. This will be the final page, and then we'll summarize. The Almosha of Shainer and Shlita brings down in 36 the Bach, Shal Ken Kalev Nishashteach of Kivrei Avos Shipalel Shal Mishum Shemakom Kedushahi. Why did he go there? Because it was a holy place. V'lomi Padzeh Shipalel Lavodah Kedushin. Not necessarily daven to the Avos. His tefillah will be answered better in a place of holiness. So one aspect of going to Kivrei Tzaddikim is that this is the place where Hashem dwells His Shechina on when there are no tzaddikim in the door. So when you have Kalev coming into Eretz Israel, there were no great tzaddikim in Eretz Israel at that time. So he had no option but to go to a place of Kedusha. Well, what was the place of Kedusha? The Shechina rests on these great tzaddikim that have died. The Ma'aril continues by saying, Hatam shepkalim ha-kivrei tzaddikim, debein ha-kvardu makom menuchas ha-tzaddikim, v'atvilo nikabla sham yoter, that this is a place where the tzaddikim, the righteous people, rest, and our tefillos are accepted more there. Ach al yasim migamato neged amitim, you shouldn't daven toward the dead people. Eli yivakesh v'Hashem yitbarach sheyitein alav rachamim b'zchut tzaddikim shochnei afar kan l'shono. So says the Ma'aril, don't daven to the dead people, daven to Hashem in the zchus of the dead people, that they should protect you. Others say, Maram Shik, Devadai Kayam Lahu, L'chazal Shemetim Mitzarim Mitzara Chayim, 37, that the dead people feel our pain when we're in pain. So when we go to them, when we are in pain, so then they themselves will be a Melech Tzioshir, and they will daven for us. That the tzaddik should stand in the merit of our tefillos to be able to help us from mevatel our gzeira. So you have this idea here that the tzaddik, the schus of the tzaddik, davening in a place of kedusha, davening that the tzaddikim should be meileads for us, are all different aspects that we have of why we go to a kever tzaddik. The Nativ HaTorah of Gamliel points out that it's not just by going to the kever tzaddik when you need financial help. You should really go to the kever tzaddik v'lamrot shuzichim lalechet l'itpalelu kivrei tzaddikim afilo gashmias v'tzarchei l'mazal. Though you could do that, you really should go to the Kivrei Tzaddikim to daven for spirituality, for to be able to be successful. And the Zohar Kadosh says, if it wasn't for the dead people davening for the live people, we wouldn't be around. So there is an idea that the dead people daven for us, they, not that we daven to them, but they are Melech Yosher. They stand in our stead. שזה מראה על מונה שבאמים שרק הרש ברוך הוא יכול להושיבו ולכן הולך להתפלל במקום סקדושים שהם קברי צדיקים כדי שירו רחמים עלינו כסי הכבוד. Again, this idea that the people who died, they can be מאור רחמים, they can awaken the mercy from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Now, there is a sefer, which is a very fascinating sefer, one of those random sfarim that we pick up, and therefore have no room for more random sfarim that we pick up, called Tifayt Chaskut Bekomos HaKadoshim, where Rav Gamliel has a very fat book where he speaks about what is the protocol of what to do in the Mekomos Kadoshim, in the holy places. He is very against 41. Keino dome klal nesila mekomos hakadoshim upekidat kvaros hatzadikim bederek tefila klalit b'amirat kama kapitlach te'elim v'kfitza mitzion achad l'mishneihu. He's very against this idea of going kever hopping. You know, you say a couple kapitlach te'elim in this kever and a couple here, and then, like, this is what's known. You know, you go, litzpos kama kama kvarim, you try to get as many kvarim as you can in a given day. Even though there is something to be said about that, he holds that, really, there's an idea of only going to one kever a day. And the idea he speaks about is that every kever, every tzaddik, has their own world. And that world of the tzaddik represents what the tzaddik meant when he was alive. And he notes in 39, that this is one of the reasons why the tzaddikim's bodies are down here, and they don't go up like Eliyahu Navi up to Shemayim. Elokozot avur dorot habayim, it's for us. Shiuchlu litkarev lidabek benefesh tzaddik, that we can attach ourselves somewhat to the soul of the tzaddik. V'lizkot likashus kirvas elokim bekoch nishmat zav tzaddik sheishar b'tzah olam. That when a tzaddik, its body is in this world, that means there's something of the tzaddik that's tangible here that we can connect with, that we can attach ourselves to. As Rav Wilson, in the very, also a very beautiful book in English, Holy Soil, where it goes through different parts of Kvarim in Eretz Yisrael and a little bit of the history and Nigunim to say, he says in 40, when coming into the building where tzaddik was buried and being under the same roof, we become filled with holiness. Merely coming to the burial site of a great person and entering the edifice which he was buried or touching graves affects us deeply. Korina v'yeshua ba'alei tzaddikim. There's a sound of rejoicing and salvation in the dwellings of tzaddikim because all who come inside are influenced by their holiness. The thesis of Rav Gamliel's book, and again, it's a very intense book. It goes through a lot of the Mekomos Kadoshim in Eretz Yisrael, and it's a very fascinating sefer, is he takes what was the attribute of the tzaddik. If it was an Amora or a Tana, he'll quote you what Gemaras they said and what lessons you can learn from them. And he goes through very clearly how, you know, you go into the kever and what you say and when you light the candle and what you should learn. And the point that his upshot of the sefer is that for every tzaddik, there's some mita, there's some quality, there's some aspect of tshuva to work on. So when you go to a tzaddik's kever, you are taking on that quality of the tzaddik. And therefore, in the schus of taking on that quality of the tzaddik will be melech yosha for you because you have entered into a different dimension, a different world. The tzaddik has created for you a different world. So it's not just, you know, going to a kever and davening, whatever you need. It's much deeper than that. Why are you going to this specific kever? What does Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai have that Dan Ben Yaakov doesn't have, that Rabbi Yonasan Ben Uziel doesn't have, that every single tzaddik has their own koach, has their own strength. Be that as it may, he does point out that even if you can't go to the Kivrei Tzaddikim, you live in Chutz Laaretz, you can still take that quality, learn about that quality of that tzaddik, and be able to try to tap yourself into the quality of the tzaddik, and in that schus be able to have the tzaddik be a melech yosher for you as well. Having said all of this, there is this idea that whether it's davening in the schus of the tzaddikim, it's davening that they should be melech yosher, it's davening to that place because they represent a makom of kedusha, a place of holiness. The kivrei tzaddikim is a place to mamish daven for ruchnias. It's a place that allows us to be able to put our lives into perspective. And being at Sivan time, it's June time now, and there are many weddings. like to add here, and then we'll summarize the Mirtz Hashem. V'kir shervein b'divrei Zohar HaKadosh shilulei tefillin ha-meitim al-achayim lo yakirum la'olam afilu plukt yoma. If it wasn't for the dead people davening for the live people, we wouldn't even be around a half a day. Nimsayim kate. כשעומדים המתים וכל נשמות אבותינו ורבותינו הקדושים נשמתם עדן לדורותיהם. People who've died, our ancestors and the tzaddikim, stand for us. ומתחננים ומתפללים בעדינו ובעבורנו תמיד, and they're constantly davening for us. ובפרט להצלחת הנישואים והבתים החדשים שממיתים. Specifically, which is all ruchnias really, for the future home that a chassan and kala will build. שירדים בעצמם ממקום מנוחתם להשתתף בצמחת צאצאים כנודע. As we know, under at the chuppah are our Zadies, all the past generations are up at that chuppah. They come to join with this simcha. ולפיכך רצוי מאוד, therefore it's very appropriate, לעלות לקברי אבות מקומות הקדושים. Before a wedding, one should go to the graves of ancestors, grandparents, great-grandparents, those that you know about, to daven for this couple, to go to Mekomos HaKadoshim, to go to holy places, B'teremet Nisuei HaYiladim, V'lo Re'er Rachamim Merubim Aleihem. Hey, do we all need so much Rachamim? V'chein L'vakshem L'shtatef Imam Simchateinu, to invite them to come to the Simcha, Shetei Simcha Shleimah V'Ritziyah L'fnei Adon Ko. I just got, my kids like the magazine, that Hasidic magazine that has pictures of the latest and greatest in the Hasidic world. So I buy it once in a blue moon. So this week was a major wedding in Bells, so I knew my kids would be into that. So they have all the pictures, obviously the kalas, and none of the pictures, like you almost wonder who the Hasid is marrying, but that's a side comment. You have all these beautiful pictures of the dancing, etc. And you see in this issue this week where the Belzer Rebbe went to the Kotel Maravi. The Belzer Rebbe went to Kever Rachel. The Belzer Rebbe went to his own Kivrei Avos to daven for the Zivuk. Before the wedding, you daven, and that's where it's at. And he says, between the time of the Erusin to the Nisuin, from the engagement to the wedding, Nagu Hore Chatan Ima Chatan, the father, the parents of the chassan, with the chassan, the rea kala, the parents of the kala, with the kala, should go to Mekomos HaKadoshim, should go to holy places, to daven that they should have a schus, to be able to, shizchut elu atzadikim HaKadoshim, atmunim b'osa Mekomos, that in the merit of these holy people, yamdu lahem, it will be a merit for them, lamina beitam karui, to build their houses appropriately. And he adds, if grandparents are able to do this, they too should go to daven for their grandchildren's wedding as well. Rabosai, this is the reality, that it's for ruchnias, for spirituality, there is no other recourse but to daven. You can go get all the brachos you want. Of course, brachos help, but it has to come from you. The initiative has to come from you. So Rabosai, what we've tried to see today is the following. The grave's guardianship is at the graves, and the people in the graves guard us. Kalev understood that he was at risk of losing his own sense of self, to be just swept up among the views of the other Meraglim. And he knew he needed help, and he went to the Kivrei Avos. The Avos represent standing, withstanding Yisyonos, Me'ever Achad, to stand on the other side. He realized that he would have no other option but to have that strength of spirit. The fact that he went along with them and didn't stand against them from the very start is why Yeshua is the next leader and not him. But the godless of Kalev is his bittul, that he's okay with that, because he understands his job in life is to be Vavdi Kalev. It's to be Mevatel himself, to nullify himself to Hashem's will, whatever that will may be. And that's really our job. That's what we learn for Kalev. But to have that bittul, it might not make sense, but this is what Hashem wants. And in order to do that, in order to make sure that I'm doing what Hashem wants and not what I want, in order to make sure that my personal negios, my personal vested interests don't get in the way, I have to have these bonos. I have to introspect. I have to look at myself. I have to question myself. I have to ask myself, Ayeko, where are you? Even if I've done this mitzvah a zillion times, am I still doing it right? Am I doing it the way it should be done? I have to be able to ask myself these questions, and I have to daven. I can't just rely on my own sense of you know, what's right and wrong. I need Hashem, daven for Siyata Deshmaya, help me make the right decision. Help me have the insight. Help me have the proper way to go. Because without that, we get so caught up in that world around us. The Kivrei Tzaddikim, whether it's you live in Eretz Yisrael and you can go Kever Hapik. You live in a place where there are great Rabbanim who've died, you can go to their Kever, to your own grandparents, parents, whatever it is, to David, that they should be Melech Yosher, that you daven a Kodesh Baruch Hu in their schluss, particularly when you need help with Siyata D'Shemayah and Ruchnias, and particularly for Simcha to build a Bais Neman, to bring them with you. I'd like to end with a beautiful idea that Rav Eisman Zatzal, the Mashgiach of Yeshiva called Torah L'Titchel, Yom brings in 32 to go back there, is he says, you're so gadol, and this I'd like us to leave us with. He says, Im holech, as lo holech. If things are going well, then things are not going well. V'im lo holech, if things aren't going well, as holech, then things are going great. Know in this world that we all have challenges. And that if everything is smooth and, you know, hunky-dory, then you know you have problems. When you realize, v'im lo holech, that you hit roadblock after roadblock, and you realize you have challenges in life, then you know you're on the right path. You know that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is pushing you, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants more from you, and that He's pushing you to be the best you can be. Don't feel like, oh, I can't do it. Recognize that we have the wherewithal. Hisbonos, introspection, and tefillah, and being able to daven. Because without that siyata d'shamaya, that help from above, we're all in a very difficult situation. May all of us, with our tefillahs, feruchnias, with our davening, that these people should be made Lishyosha for us. The grave's guardianship should guard us and all of Klal Yisrael for Brocha and Tova.